Precious Son's name we pray.
Please be seated. Thank you, worship band. My name is Pastor Todd, and I'd like to welcome you to Newburgh United Methodist Church on this dreary but glorious day that we have to worship our God. This is a special day, a very special day. We're going to be recognizing in a few moments our graduates, and so stay tuned for that. We want to certainly celebrate what they have accomplished. I do have one announcement that I'd like to bring forth for you. In the bulletin, we have our food pantry has the postal carrier food drive next weekend. Make sure you get a chance to read that, and that's one of the ways that the post office helps to contribute to some local food pantries, including ours. So if you have some questions on that or could help next Saturday, we can use you for that. Our lead pastor this morning, Pastor Chris and his wife Peggy, are in Florida. They've moved their daughter Allison down there, and now they're having some time on vacation. So we'll be praying for them and hope they have a wonderful, restful time. Maybe not. Do you have one more thing that I'd like to bring to your attention? We have our altar set for Holy Communion this Sunday, and in our tradition, the United Methodist Church, you don't have to be a member here to participate in Holy Communion. All are welcome to the table. And so when you receive the invitation later, everyone is welcome to come forward and participate. So just keep that in mind toward the end of our service. All are welcome as we celebrate in the Lord's Supper. Now I'd like to invite Emma Lone to come forward as we celebrate the graduates.
Good morning. Today is a really special day for all of our high school seniors, but not only high school seniors, anybody who's finished a course of study. So can I invite you guys to come up right up on top here? We've cleared space. There's loads of you. Come on. And we can give them a clap as they're coming up. Yeah. Awesome. These guys have worked hard, studied hard, I think,
yeah.
Tell your parents yes, okay? And they've reached a really important milestone in their lives where they finish this portion, this chapter, but move on to new things, things that might be a little bit scary at this point. But today, not only do we want to recognize this milestone, but we want to encourage them and remind them that we love them, that this is their home, and that we as a church will commit to pray for them in the coming months. Will we do this, church? Will we pray for them?
Amen. Yes.
Oh, no, lighter than that. Come on. Yes. There we go. Thank you. Because there's many challenges, many celebrations to be had in the coming months. And even though they're leaving us here, they will not be forgotten. And, of course, they will be back. And we've got plans in the coming months as well to keep you in touch. And so I want to let you hear who these guys are, where they're graduating from, and what they're planning to do next if they know. You can totally make something up if you don't know, okay?
Hi, my name is Connor Gruzzini, and I'm graduating from Castle High School, and I'll be attending the University of Evansville in the fall to study marketing and religion, and my overall goal is to pursue ordained ministry within the United Methodist Church to become a pastor someday.
Hi, my name is Kayla Barglow, and I'm also graduating from Castle High School. I will be attending the University of South Indiana to study biochemistry to then further my education and become a physician.
Hi, my name is Lauren Abney. I'm also graduating from Castle High School. I will be attending the University of Southern Indiana in the fall, and I want to study English education to become a high school teacher.
My name is Rachel Biggs. I'm also a graduate of Castle High School, and I'm also going to USI, and I'm double majoring in business and communications, and I hope to one day be an event planner and take pictures on the side.
I'm Paige Fanick, and I'm graduating from Castle High School, and I'm going to Western Kentucky University to study speech and language pathology.
Hi, I'm Lauren Conkling, and I just graduated from Indiana University in Bloomington. I'm an English major, and I'm looking for jobs in publishing currently.
I'm Courtney Barr. I'm the rare one and graduated from Harrison High School. I'm going down south to University of Alabama, Roll Tide, to major in clinical psychology.
So there's lots ahead for these guys, so I really hope you do keep them in your prayers. And as well, college can be a really challenging time. And for these guys who you've seen grow up, many of them, we want to remind you as well that faith is not something that's just a hobby. It's not just an extracurricular or a second major. It's something that is living and breathing inside of you every single day and everything that you do. So even though that there will be bumps and there will be low points and there will be high points as well, we want to give you this Bible as a reminder that God is with you wherever you are. And so I'm going to ask, Pastor Todd as well to come, and we'll swap microphones. And you'll be presented with this Common English Bible. And we will work really hard to get the booklet inside of it filled out and signed by our famous pastor, Chris, maybe Pastor even Todd. Yeah. We'll get his signature before he goes off. Yeah, autograph.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Let us all pray with them. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for each graduate here, for the hard work that they've put forth, for the preparation. We thank you for the life that you have prepared for each of them. But we do pray your blessing on them to take their knowledge and their skills to be used for your good purpose in their lives and in your kingdom. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give them a hand. like now then to invite the children to come forward for the children's message. Room. Find your spot there. Well, good morning. How are you all? I'm over here. You all look great today. Hey, do you know what just happened up there? What those? That's right. We celebrated people that were graduating. Yes, that's right. Isn't that special? They graduated. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? What graduate? They move up to. That's exactly right. They move up to a new school, and it may be the school of life that they move up to, but they move up. Graduation is a very special time, and each one of you are going to graduate one day, aren't you? You're going to graduate. That's right. You'll be up here, and we'll be celebrating all the hard work that you've put in at school, and you'll get your diploma, and you'll be wearing one of those fancy hats, and everybody will say, yay, you made it. All of the work that they do that's preparing them out there for life, and that, you know, you're doing that in school. You're getting prepared to be at life. That's right. Hey, I'm going to ask you a trick question here. Do you ever graduate from church? No, you don't? No, we don't, do we? We don't want to graduate from church. That's right, because that is a great answer. Because we are always learning. There's never a time when we can't learn more and we can't grow and love Jesus more. So we don't really graduate from church. But each week at church, we send you out into the world, sort of as graduates for that week, to go out and to serve God in the world. So although in church we don't really graduate, we're always learning. Can you guys pray with me? Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for giving me a mind and helping me to learn. Help me to use everything for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Excellent. I'll see you.
Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the Hebrew prophet in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity, and as one from whom others hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. And we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Thank you.
Please stand as you are able and listen for the word of God in Luke chapter 24. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Please be seated.
Matrix is breaking into our system here. Tell you what, just put it on a. Go ahead and take it off. It'll be distracting, and we don't need it for the rest of the service. Here we go. This is still there. Wow. Go ahead and turn it off, please. So I've been having a few driving challenges in the last month. In the Target parking lot, not East Side Target, but the north side of Evansville. And, you know where that is, right? Some of you have been over there. They've got a little thoroughfare that you can drive and between parking lots. And like most shopping centers have, you don't have to go out to the main roads. You can go between shopping centers without leaving the parking lot. And so I drive up to the thoroughfare, and there's a stop sign to my right, and I kind of look both ways, and I turn left. And as soon as I do, I hear this honking behind me, and there's this woman in a pickup truck, and she is livid. She is irate. And, you know, I'm not an expert at lip reading, but the communication was coming through. Apparently, I had pulled in front of her. And so I'm thinking, well, this was a stop sign. She couldn't have been going that fast. So I waved, sorry, you know, apologetically. I'm sorry, I didn't see you, thinking that would solve it. And it didn't. In fact, that made her even more angry, to which she started to give me kind of that double barrel thing, both hands. And apparently she felt like that the harder she waved the fingers, the more pain was inflicted upon me. She was giving it to me. And I'm thinking, geez, this is crazy. I thought, you know, here, I'm going to get beat up by a girl. Again. It was worse. So I thankfully saw the Dairy Queen that was off to the left, and I thought, I need witnesses. I'm going to pull over here. But then I thought, you know, if anybody that nuts is surely carrying a firearm. So I got to worry. Apparently, the Dairy Queen solved it, and she went forward and left. But we're in this series called Thinking About Reactions and Responses. And as we think about reactions and responses, it's back. Reactions and responses, there's a difference between how we react and response. There's not that much difference in the words, but there is a difference. And really, reactions have been considered to be usually more negative or more reflex or more emotional, where our responses can be thoughtful and intuitive and a bit more intentional. We're called as Christians to respond to the resurrection, to the reality that God is in our life. And so we're going to talk about that today and maybe some of the misunderstandings and responses that people have. We'll look at these pictures in just a moment. Go ahead and let's pray. Gracious God, help us to be such masters of ourselves that we might truly become the servants of all others. Take our lips and speak through them, and our minds and think through them. Then take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Now, if you go back to that first picture, I want to draw your attention to that, the very first one there. Just gaze at that for a little. You've seen them all now, so you've got a little idea of what's coming. But as you look at the first one, you probably have a particular idea of what you're seeing there. And then as they progress, let's see if they... Go ahead and forward it. There we go. You may think, wow, this is Photoshopped. But it's not Photoshopped. This is sidewalk art. Sidewalk art where you can walk over it and for a particular perspective, from a particular vantage point, looks amazing. When you first think you're looking at something, all of a sudden from a different vantage point, look at this, it looks like it's three-dimensional, but when you change the vantage point of this, that's what it actually looks like on the sidewalk. It's kind of cool, isn't it? We're a people who understand there are different vantage points in the world, that people have different vantage points. We don't stand in the same place in the same with the same experiences as everyone else. In fact, we learn that as we're growing up, that we need to honor other people's opinions, respect their vantage point. And kids learn how to do that. And if they don't learn how to do that as adults, well, they may find themselves a sermon illustration and as they're cussing at a pastor in Target. But we're called to think about things from other people's perspective, to gain a new vantage point. Jesus even said to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. There's a reciprocal understanding of who we are as people. Because we know we all have stories, right? We have different stories, and our stories are unique, and we have a different way of telling them. If we heard the story of, say, the pilgrims as they went across the ocean, it would be one story. But if we heard the story from the perspective of the Native Americans, well, it would be another vantage point, the story. Hey, if we listen to the story of the graduates as they told their experience, or their hard studies and hard works and the late nights and their friendships and their hardships, we'd have one story. If we ask the parents to tell their story of the graduates, their late nights and their hardships and their suffering, we'd have another. We have different vantage points and ways that we approach things. Well, today I want us to try to think our way back to a vantage point of the early disciples when they heard the news, and even as they, over the months, as things progress, as they're hearing about this resurrected Jesus. Many of them are meeting Jesus and hearing from, but they're kind of living into this new reality of the resurrection. What would it be like to put ourselves back into their sandals and to see things and to hear things? You know, what were their ideas of the resurrection? Now, I'm going to warn you, don't be too quick to put your ideas of the resurrection back on them. Because I can assure you, many of us would miss the mark as we do that. And our ideas and our perspective are certainly important. But today we're going to kind of wind ourselves back into the early church. What were they hearing when they heard the news that Jesus was resurrected? Where did they get this idea of the resurrection? Now, a little fun fact, that in the Torah, the first five books, the Old Testament, the oldest part of the Old Testament, there is no mention of resurrection. In fact, there's hardly any talk about what happens after we die in the first five books of the Bible. And so many of the Sadducees and Pharisees in Jesus' day who claimed that as their authoritative text didn't believe in a resurrection. It's going to be those scriptures that we celebrate after the first five books that begin to talk about resurrection. So we don't find it in the ancient Torah. What about where Abraham came from? Abraham is the father of faith, and he came from an area kind of Persia and Babylon, and he came through from a pagan religion. What did they think about happened after people died? Well, in that world, they did believe that they went to kind of an underworld, but it wasn't a very nice place, and the dead stayed dead. They certainly never were resurrected. Well, what about Egypt? Egypt was a big influence upon the early Hebrews. Hey, we all know about the Pharaoh and the pyramids. They did have an idea of what happened after they died. In fact, that whole mummification process and bringing those possessions and those idea of their servants and their wives and all that being transported into this next world, they understood there was another world. In fact, there's a book about the Egyptian Book of the Dead, and it's about how to traverse the underworld, little spells that help them get through. But in Egypt, there was no concept of the resurrection. It was about moving from this world to some other world. Kind of like those that want to capture Halley's Comet. Fly away. So we don't find the resurrection in Babylon. We don't find it in Egypt. What about the Greco-Roman world? Well, they had an idea too. One of their Bibles of the Old Testament, their idea of a Bible would be something like one of the ancient books, Homer and the Iliad. And Homer and the Odyssey. I bet some of you have read that in your classes. That's kind of their Bible. When they look back, the Greeks look back at what happened after they died, there was an idea that they would have to take the river Styx to Hades and remember to pay the ferryman. There was an underworld, and that underworld was the world of shadows and the world of despair and sometimes grief. But there was no way back from that world. It wasn't until Plato came along about 350 years before Jesus where he changed that idea. He said, no, this world is the world of shadows and ghosts. The next world is the world of perfection and courage and wisdom. But still, none of these concepts gathered the idea of resurrection. And so they're not getting the idea of resurrection from outside. They would begin to get it from the inside through their scriptures that are going to be revealed during their exile. Now, many of us have studied this stuff know that there was two exiles for Egypt. They had the Egyptian exile, excuse me, for Hebrews, the Egyptian exile and the Babylonian exile. It was the second one where they began having visions and dreams of resurrection. And here's what it looked like in Scripture. When we turn to the Word, we begin to think about, how about Ezekiel? Ezekiel, a prophecy, says, the bones come together, bone to its bone. Flesh grew, and the skin covered them and breathed into them, and they stood up. Now it goes on to say, these bones are a symbol of the house of Israel. It says that the Lord God, behold, I will open up graves and cause you to come up out of your graves. And my people, I will bring you into a land of Israel, and you will know that I am the Lord. For I have opened your graves and caused you to come out of the graves. My people, I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you in your own land, and you will know that I am the Lord, and I have spoken, and that I have done it. While they're in exile, they begin to have visions of resurrection. And it's not simply that they'll be returned to Israel, back to their land, which incidentally was always the promise, right, to Abraham, that land and people, I will make of you a great nation, and all families of the world will be blessed through you, and I will give you a land, the land of promise. God's restoring his plan. But they're going to be called back with a powerful new way, new life being birthed among them. Sometimes we think of the story of the prodigal son. We all know that story. It's one of my favorite stories. I take it to heart and believe it's a personal story about the person who left faith and then went and squandered their possessions and then came back to faith. And we celebrate the fact they come back. Of course, the story is that the younger son asked for his inheritance. He asked for it early. He goes off to a faraway land, squanders it. And wakes up with the pigs, literally, and says, I'm going to go back home and beg my father's forgiveness. And upon returning home, the father, of course, welcomes the prodigal back. But there is another part of that story, right? The older brother. The older brother who's been there all along is not very happy with the prodigal being welcomed. Now, we understand that as God welcoming back sinners' story, and we ought to. That's our vantage point of it. But the early disciples would have had a different vantage point to understand that story. They would have understood it that he was talking about Israel. That Israel had gone to a faraway land. All the prophets had said they were in Babylon. They were in exile because of their sin. And now they were returning home. And the father, of course, the father would receive them. But there was an older brother. Things like the Herods of the world, the chief scribes and the Sadducees, who weren't so happy to be reconciling Israel back. And so from their vantage point, they would have heard it very much as the restoration and the call of God of Israel. You see how things work with vantage point. It's where we stand for how we see them. There's one thing clear from all of this, though, as we look at the resurrection. The Hebrews believe adamantly that their land was being restored. And that's what they were looking forward to. There is no vision in the Bible that calls us somewhere else. The Hebrews have always called us, God's call has been to redeem the world from the beginning. The plan that God began. The problem is many of us today have more of a Platonic view. We have more of an idea the Greeks had of heaven and what happens after we die than the scriptural view. But the scriptural view is about the renewal of all life. So from this perspective, as we look back and we look back at some of the scriptures about resurrection, we can think our way back and remember what Jesus told us. Think about this scripture. Of all places, the book of Job, it hints of the resurrection. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he at last will stand upon the earth, and then my flesh shall see God. Or the psalmist says, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body rests secure, for you do not give me up to Sheol. This is the land of the dead. Or let your faithful ones see the pits. Or how about this from Isaiah the prophet? Your dead shall live, their corpses shall rise, O dweller in the dust. Awake and sing for joy, for your dew is a radiant dew, and the earth will give birth to those long dead. The Jews were affirming the goodness of God's creation and couldn't fathom the idea that God would discard it. But he was about the work of renewing it. So when Jesus begins to proclaim resurrection, he says things like this in John 5. Do not be astonished. Do not be astonished at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and will come out, those who have done good to the resurrected life. Or in Mark 10, to those who follow him, blessings, now in this present age, but in the age to come, eternal life. When we look to the ancient literature around the people, we see that dead people don't come back to life. But when we look through the scriptures and we begin to realize the promise of the resurrection, the renewed Israel, it's a promise that's even larger. It's a promise to the whole world. Paul says this, 1 Corinthians. He says, we shall be raised and we shall be changed, transformed and glorified, and death will be swallowed up by life, for God is the God of the living, not the dead. For resurrection is about new creation. And that's, of course, the greatest refrain of all, that in the end, love wins. God is the God of the living and not the dead. And so that's what we celebrate when we participate in the resurrection, the living God who is among us now and forever. like to invite you to turn in your hymnal to page 12. As we prepare our hearts for communion. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him and who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. And that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. This time I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward as we celebrate God's tithes and our offerings. this time I'd like to invite the communion stewards to come forward. As they're coming forward, I want to draw your attention to something on the altar. We have these little boxes. These boxes are part of our congregational care team ministry. They're filled with communion elements that will be going out to our shut-ins. Starting this month, we'll be sending those out every month. When you all participate in communion, so will it go out to our shut-ins. When we partake in Holy Communion, it is a form of, it's called a sign, a symbol. But in a very real way, it's a mystery of faith, that somehow God is present in this act. It's not simply remembering what happened, but somehow we remember, and as we remember, God is present. As we proclaim a resurrected Lord, we know that God is with us. God is here. And that somehow in this mystery of faith, this sign act, that God is present. And so I want to invite you as you come forward today to think about how you can better be part of the resurrected people, the Easter people, being part of God's mission in the world. It's a form of communion, it's a form of saying, less of me, Lord, and more of you. Help me, strengthen me to live according to your mission. On the night before Jesus was crucified, he took the bread and broke it, gave thanks to God, and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this often in remembrance of me." And following the supper, he took the cup, gave thanks to God, and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And do this often in remembrance of me." And so as a sign act, we participate in memory of what Jesus has done and in celebration of the living Lord. If you have not participated in this form of communion, you simply take a little of the bread that will be handed to you and you dip it into the cup, the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. I invite you now to come forward as the ushers lead you. Come and receive God's grace. Thank you.
praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Creation. God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Let all creation I see praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for this sign act. We thank you for the fact that you are with us, always empowering us, always calling us to life. Lord, we receive this gift and we go out today as your people. Lord, help us to live into this resurrected life and help us to call others to it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, before we close with the benediction, I am going to invite you to stand. And I'm going to give the benediction, and then I invite you to turn to one another and to greet one another in the name of Christ. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
Peace be with you.
Surely alive, and he's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. My God's not dead. shake the ground with the sound of revival. Let heaven roar and fire fall. Come shake the ground with the sound of revival. He's surely alive, and he's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. My God's not dead. He's surely alive, and he's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. My God's not dead. He's surely alive, and he's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. My God's not dead. He's surely alive, and he's living on the inside.